First of all, and we're going to look at several scriptures tonight, would you kindly take your Bibles, whether it's your phone or your computer or whatever, or God's Word in front of you, would you please turn to Luke chapter 8? Luke chapter 8. And first of all, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. As we look at these verses tonight and other passages of Scripture, our first main truth we're going to learn is this. Every life, no matter how broken it may be, can be made whole by Christ. Every life, no matter how broken it might be, can be made whole by Christ. Luke 8, 1-3. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. This morning I mentioned John 3:16, and I mentioned God so loved what? The world. And we asked all of us to make it personal, to put your name in there instead of world. God so loved, put your name there. I use my name. God so loved Roger. When we think of people like Mary Magdalene, we realize that when God so loved the world, God loved people like Mary. You know, I have met with some very difficult, very hard case people in my life. And some people would say, I seriously doubt that God loves them. I beg their pardon. God loves everybody. Aren't you glad? God loves everybody. And he loved Mary. Now, what do we know about this dear woman named Mary Magdalene? Well, she was in desperate need, and she was helpless to help herself. The Bible says that she was demon-possessed. Exactly what form of demon possession enveloped her, the Word of God does not tell us. All that we know that this is a terrible situation. Her daily life was afflicted. She had much torment. By the way, you realize today that in 2017, demon possession is very much alive in the world. It is everywhere in the world today. Well, this dear woman was demon possessed. Mary was born in a town called Magdala. That's where she gets Mary Magdalene, which was situated at the northwest shore at the Lake of Galilee, about 3 miles from the well-known city of Capernaum. Now, her city wasn't a well city. It was a bad city. There was much sexual immorality there. It was a horrible city, and somewhere along the way, historians tell us that her city was destroyed because of what went on there. Mary's name is often confused with the prostitute of Luke 7, verses 36 through 50. But there's nowhere in Scripture that says that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. There's nowhere that links her with the woman of Luke 7, 36 through 50. That's another woman entirely who God in his mercy met and changed her life because of his great love for her. Until Mary met Jesus and experienced his touch of deliverance, she lived a horrible life. She reminds us of the demoniac of Mark 5, verses 1 through 20, who lived in the caves. He cut himself repeatedly. The Bible doesn't tell us that Mary cut herself, but she did not live a normal life. People said that people that were demon-possessed were more animal than they were human. So you can just imagine what Mary was going through as she was going through her life with these 7 demons. And being that she had 7 demons means that her affliction was horrendous. It was horrendous. Now, let's ask a question. Who are demons? The Bible declares to us that demons are fallen angels. They are under the control of Satan. When Satan and them rebelled, God threw them out of heaven. Now, for a demon to do his horrible, horrible work, the demon has to indwell a body. If not a person, than an animal. You recall in Mark 5 when the demons left the demoniac of Gadara, they left him and they went into the herd of pigs, 2,000 of them. The pigs went over the cliff and drowned themselves into the sea. So that's how they do their work. They indwell a body. Well, these demons controlled whatever they indwelt. They controlled their speech. They caused derangement. They brought violence. They rendered them mute. Now, I do want to make a statement here, which is very important to us as believers in Jesus Christ. Believers in Jesus Christ can be attacked and harassed, but we cannot be indwelt by a demon. How do we know that? God's Word tells us. In 1 John 4:4, it says this, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them," meaning that which is in the world, "because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Who indwells us the moment that we ask Jesus Christ to come into our heart? The Holy Spirit. So because we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, though Satan is against us, though he would come and harass, though his emissaries would harass us, they cannot envelop a child of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in us, and we are protected from them by the grace of God. Would you say hallelujah with me? Hallelujah. How thankful I am for that wonderful truth. We also understand that as the Lord delivered Mary of her demon possession, that her deliverance was complete and lasting. How do we know that? We know it was complete and lasting because she was now a part of the disciple band following Jesus, those men and women that loved him and believed in him. If she had not been delivered completely, she would not have been allowed to be with the disciple band. But when God does a work in a person's life, he does it completely, and I am so thankful that he does. Now, what is the result of the Lord working in Mary Magdalene's life, delivering her from her sin and from demon possession? What was the outcome in her life? Very simply put, the life of Mary Magdalene was a life of love and thankfulness to the Lord Jesus. She was a fierce follower of Jesus Christ. She was one of those women, as we read, who ministered to the Lord and the other disciples by giving of their own finances to minister of their needs. Have you noticed that oftentimes when somebody comes to Christ, they say, "I want to do something great for God"? You ever say that? I certainly have said that. There's nothing wrong with that. But oftentimes we put the emphasis, "I need to do something great for God." But when you really think about it and you look into the Word of God, what the Lord Jesus is looking for is a life of loving obedience, day in and day out, following his will, doing what he would want us to do, bringing glory to his name. And that was the life of Mary Magdalene. She loved and she worshiped and obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as you look at her life in the Scriptures, there's nothing that she did that was great. She served the Lord in the shadows. She did no miracle. She wrote no book. Neither did she die as a martyr. But what she did do was she lived her life totally for the glory of Jesus Christ. Her life was a life of love and faithful service. And because of what she did, it speaks volumes of what it means to be obedient to the Lord because he has changed our life. I have down here what a legacy she's left to us. May what she did spur us on to follow the Lord in the same way. Now, as I say she was fearless, I want us to understand that nothing deterred her from following the Lord. And we're going to read some scriptures that make that very clear. Threatening crowds, bullying soldiers, fellow disciples who in fear ran away because it was dangerous to be a follower of Jesus. That wasn't her life. She stood her ground for Jesus Christ. Would you now turn with me to John 19? John 19. I trust you'll turn with me, please. John 19, verses 23 through 25. Let's see this fearlessness of this dear woman, Mary Magdalene, delivered of 7 demons, who now lives a life of love and loving obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, her Savior. John 19, I'm beginning to read at verse 23, please. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into 4 shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. So this is what the soldiers did. Now notice, please. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and who? Mary Magdalene. How awesome it is that when the Lord Jesus was sadly crucified on that cross that day for your sins and mine, only one of the disciple band was there at the foot of the cross, and that was John, the disciple. The others had gone. Judas had hung himself because he did not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had guilt for what he had done, but he would not humble himself before Jesus. Peter had denied the Lord, and he was having his own time of grief. And we've talked about Peter. But where were the others? So at the foot of the cross when Jesus is crucified, who is there? Mary Magdalene. She was a fierce one who loved the Lord Jesus, and she didn't let anyone get in her way of worshiping the Lord, even at this difficult, difficult time, his crucifixion on the cross. But then secondly, look with me at Matthew 27. Matthew 27, please. We want to look at another time where we see Mary Magdalene in a time that was difficult. Matthew 27, I'm beginning to read at verse 57. Matthew 27, 57. The Lord has died. He's been taken off the cross, and now he's being buried. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered it that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Read verse 61 with me, please. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. So when the Lord Jesus Christ was buried, Mary had not skipped out. She did not let her grief overwhelm her. Was she grief-stricken? Yes. She hadn't understood, along with the other disciples, that after the Lord Jesus died, after the third day, he was going to rise again. But out of her love for the Lord Jesus Christ, she was there for him to the very end. And then look with me to Luke 23, please. Luke 23, verse 55. After the Lord Jesus was buried, she and the other women are going to do something. Luke 23, I'm looking at verse 55. The women, which included Mary Magdalene, who had come with Jesus from Galilee, followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandments. I've heard people say, I cannot do what I want to do for Jesus, so I'm just not going to do anything. The interesting thing about Mary Magdalene and the other women is that even though Jesus was dead, his body had not been embalmed correctly as the Jewish law prescribed. So what did they do? This is important. They did what they could to honor their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We sometimes look for the great thing that we might do for Jesus. They did what they could, even though their Savior was no longer alive. They did what they could in honor of him. Now we know that the angel came to two of the women after Mary and the others had left and told them, "What are you doing here looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is what? He is risen. Go and tell the others that he is alive." What a glorious story that was. But then there's one more passage of Scripture. It is absolutely powerful. Would you look at John 20 with me, please? John chapter 20. And we want to look at verse 10. John 20, verse 10. Another passage of Scripture which deals with Mary Magdalene, this dear woman who had been delivered of seven demons and made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 10. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary Magdalene, stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you were looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. We wonder, why is it that out of all of the people that Jesus could have made himself known to, he chose Mary Magdalene? Again, there's no accidents with Jesus. Some have surmised that perhaps the Lord Jesus appeared to her in this wonderful place at this wonderful time to show his abundant grace to that which everybody else said she's not worth paying for. You ever met somebody that felt that they were not worth paying for? I have. I've met people who felt that their life was beyond being saved, and people had told them, God doesn't want somebody like you. He's looking for people that are different than you. God looks for people like you and me. He looks for sinners. Aren't you glad? If he looked for people that were righteous, I couldn't make it. I wouldn't be on my way to heaven. But he looks for sinners. Perhaps the reason our Lord appeared to Mary was to demonstrate his abundant grace to one who others considered hopelessly lost. But she was not lost to Jesus. None of you and I were lost to Jesus. As we look at Mary's life, we realize that she loved her Lord dearly and deeply, and that she was ready to follow him no matter the cost to her life. She belonged to Jesus. Years ago, and I'm kind of going back, but you'll remember when a gas station or a restaurant had changed hands, they would put a sign in the window, and what did that sign say? Under new ownership. In other words, what they're saying is the ownership that was here before didn't do a very good job. We've taken over this place, this restaurant, this gas station, and when you come here, you can expect that you're going to be treated right. When a person has been born again and had received the grace of Jesus Christ, their sins are forgiven, their life is made brand new, we literally could put up under new ownership. We belong to Jesus Christ. And though they didn't have signs like that in Mary's day, may I share with you that that was the legacy of her life. I'm not Mary Magdalene the old. I'm Mary Magdalene the New. I'm under new ownership. My life belongs to Jesus Christ. And even though I cannot do anything great for him, I'm doing all I can. And what I can do is by his grace and through the power of his Spirit, I can live a life of loving obedience, serving him wherever he places me. And that's where Jesus asks us to follow in her footsteps. Well, lastly tonight, though a life has been marred by sin, it still can be made usable and blessed of God. How do we know that? Luke 19:10 tells us. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. May I share with you once again, this was a divine appointment. If you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, Jesus has had a divine appointment with you. You cannot come to Christ unless he meets with you. He meets with you through his word. He meets with you through his messages. He meets with you as you privately are with him through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit that convicts us of sin. It's the Spirit who draws us to Christ. It's the Spirit that convinces us that there is nobody else but Jesus for us. He makes us new. What a wonderful Lord. He seeks and saves that which was lost. Mary was lost. I was lost. You were lost. But he sought us out. A divine appointment. As I think of Mary Magdalene, I also think of another man from John 9. The man who was born blind. Remember him? And after he was thrown out of the synagogue by the religious leaders, they asked him, "What's happened to you?" This was his testimony. "One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." That was Mary Magdalene's testimony as well. Though she was lost, now she's been found. Now I can see the one who loved me and died for me and has cared for me. You know, when I think of great people, I think of Moses and Elijah and Peter, James and John and Paul, all of these people that did great things for God through the power of the Holy Spirit. But now I want you to think with me about this dear, simple woman, saved from demon possession. She now walks with Christ. She's serving him with loving obedience. And I want you to understand how God honored her even as he honored others who came before her. Moses met with God on the mountain when the law was given. An extraordinary thing. Elijah met with God on the mountain to be encouraged of him and to receive instructions for his next ministry steps. Peter, James, and John met with our Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration, where they saw the Lord in his glory. But there's one other person who met with Christ in a very special way. Mary Magdalene meets with the risen Savior in the garden and is also encouraged by him and given a ministry responsibility. "Go tell my disciples that you have talked to me. I'm going to my Father and their Father. Tell them, Mary. Go and tell them." Nobody else had that privilege. Mary did. What a wonderful, wonderful thing the Lord Jesus Christ did for her. Yes, our Savior takes the life which has experienced tragedy and turned it into triumph. He takes that which has been broken and makes it completely whole. He takes that which has been regarded as absolutely useless and makes it wonderfully useful. This is the testimony of Mary Magdalene. And the beautiful thing about the story of Mary Magdalene is that it is being duplicated today millions of times over throughout the world. Back in 1984, when the Lord led me to go to Kenya, East Africa, for the first time, it was my privilege to meet with people, of course, whom I'd never met before. And when they would come up to me, they wouldn't do the normal thing in greeting as we do here. They would come up to me and they would say, "My name is Ukuma. I received Jesus Christ into my life in 1956. I want to tell you what Jesus did for me." And I met many of my dear brothers and sisters in Christ who had the same glorious way of telling me their life had been changed. Now, we can share with others by our mouths that our lives have been changed, but along with the mouth sharing the words that we've been changed, what does the world need to see? A life example that our life indeed has been changed by Jesus. There's a glorious old gospel song that says, "I see Jesus in you." Tell me, when people look at you and me, and I'm pointing to me, when people look at me, when they look at you, do they see Jesus in us? May I share with you that by God's grace, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when people looked at Mary Magdalene, they saw Jesus in her. What a wonderful testimony. May that be yours and my testimony tonight as we live for Christ in this broken, broken world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise for who you are. We give you praise for the way that you change lives. We praise you for the way that you have changed our lives. No telling what direction our lives might have gone had you not come and had that divine appointment with us and shared with us that you were who we needed. So, Lord, we praise you tonight. Thank you for changing us. Thank you for saving us from our sin. Thank you for making us brand new. And Lord, as we preach this morning, I pray that if there's anybody here tonight who feels insignificant, Heavenly Father, I pray that they would realize that they, like all of us, are significant to you. And when you died for the sins of the world, you died for them. You died to make their life brand new. You died to make them your son or your daughter. So, Heavenly Father, we rejoice tonight in this life that you changed. And, Lord, we pray that as we go through our daily walk, that others truly would see Jesus in us. We praise you, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Neville, would you please come and lead us?
Please stand and we'll sing 507. 507. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of mine. Let's sing it again. Something beautiful, something good, all my confusion he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life.
Amen. Amen. I shared with you a couple weeks ago that this coming weekend, our youngest son Andrew is going to be married, so we will be out of town. And next Sunday night, Pastor Charlie will be here with you again. So I pray that you'll come and support him and let him know how thankful you are that he is here. We shall miss you. It just feels, I don't know how to explain it. It doesn't feel right when we're not here with you. But we'll be with you and sharing with our son and his fiance as they get married. But Wayne, dear brother, would you kindly close us in prayer?